going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
What are we going to do tomorrow? It's Dukes and Bell. We are a day away from the draft. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it's good to have you listening this hour of Dukes and Bell, guys, as we're going to get into what Terry Fontenot had to say today. Coming up a little bit later on, Grant is going to stop by. Braves do win, and that means they win the series, which is good. We're continuing to win series. We'll talk about some of the moves that have been made, but that's on the way. Mike, we've been saying this. Tomorrow down at Mercedes-Benz Stadium for the show and getting you ready for the draft tomorrow night. Our coverage all day long, and then tomorrow night live from Mercedes-Benz, West Durham. Dave Archer, Mike Conte will get you all covered, and then we'll have all kind of post-draft coverage as well. All right. We've been talking a lot about all these different guys, and we will continue because, as Terry Fontenot said today, the work's not done, and I do believe him. But let's hear a couple of things that he said so we can have some clarity on where the Falcons are on some of this stuff. Terry Fontenot, about need versus availability or best player, how is he feeling about this? Will we get an impact player, Mike Bell?
You're darn right we will. Yeah, I mean, look, we've gone round and round, and we talked about linebackers. We've talked about, edge rushers. And now, Carl, you, sir, have turned the argument, the conversation, towards maybe going inside the line. Because if you look at it, it's Onyemata and it's Ruka Ro-Ro-Ro. And with all due respect to Quan Graham, it's the same old dudes. We're not good against the run and not great getting the quarterback on the ground. So maybe we go inside. And we will forestall for another year with at least a good Leonard Floyd helping out, right? And Ebba Cady, hopefully on the other side, doing better.
Yeah.
And Caden Ellis will release the house. See, that's. I mean, would I go to interior and then go edge in the second if a guy's there? Yes, yes. And then we still need to get another corner, I think, for the nickel package. Either way, you could make the argument if your edge rushers you've earmarked are gone, then you like going into inside, right?
I do, because it helps your defense, and it's a position of need. I know it's not. I don't believe most Falcon fans don't believe it's the position of need because we still don't get to the quarterback enough. But when you start talking about some of these big defensive tackles that are game changers. And you're going to get better against the run, Mike. Mm. It makes you a better defense. Now you're putting teams in third and long. Now you can pin your ears back even more so. I'm not telling you one over the other. What I'm telling you is both. But if they have to choose at 15, one or the other, how do they go about that? And that's something else Terry Fontenot talked about today. It's Dukes and Bell at Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's hear Terry talk about the board being set.
Is the hay in the barn?
I think the hay's in the barn. I think the hay's in the barn. It's in the barn.
Wait, hold on. I thought the hay was in the barn.
It's in the barn. It's got to be in the barn. I mean, we're a day away, Mike. It's got to be in there.
These horses have to eat. All right. Where's Rob, by the way? I mean, did you want to hear from Coach? You just look, let the GM run the show today.
Well, look, I got two beefs, all right? One, I thought Terry, 30 minutes was not enough. That's me. You are going into the most important draft of your tenure as a general manager. Whether you believe it or not, you are. And your head coach, who's in collaboratively, not my words, his, wasn't sitting next to him. So when we talk about these decisions, and again, I think, Mike, when you put guys up there, it opens the door for us to ask those questions, right? Hey, like I asked you earlier. All right, Jeff Olbrich, Rob really likes a guy, and you like him, but, you know, the scouting staff and maybe Terry say, well, we want to go this direction. Who wins?
Mm. This you know what? I've been having a good day today. It almost feels like a Friday. Let's not even go down this road because we've heard about, and this goes back to Dimitroff and Quinn, and this isn't a knock on Dan and Thomas because 2016, the collaboration worked perfectly.
It did.
You know, and that's what we're trying to recreate this year. But, yeah, I mean, who says? Who's the guy? I would think, you know, and so the impression, and this is what we get from talking to D-Led, from talking to people inside the building, that Arthur Smith drove the bus on the Pitts pick and probably on the Drake London pick, right? We feel that?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then Arthur probably told the general manager to try to get Deshaun Watson. So, when does this guy get to pick his own guys?
Well, I think he has been now.
Bijan was the guy. Certainly, we know Michael Penix was that guy.
Yeah, I think he has been.
Problem was, you know, the coach wanted Kirk Cousins, and you created a situation, whether you feel for Kirk or you tell him to go pound sand, that you alienated a quarterback, which created an entire other soap opera, which you're still dealing with. But now, yes, let the coach and the defensive coordinator decide on this one.
Well, my biggest thing today was, and look, a lot of the stuff that Terry Fontenot was talking about, he's not wrong. He's been in football a long time. He's right. When you start talking about, you know, still working and evaluating these guys and how red flags pop up and how you look at that, all that stuff is true. But my thing is, we got a new defensive coordinator, and defense is where we're lacking. Is he not going to be a part of this process? And that question really wasn't answered today. When I heard that they're enthusiastic about the way Jeff Olbrich watches film, look, we were here when Jeff was here. We get it. He's an exciting, emotional, enthusiastic dude. But when you're talking about, hey, my job might be on the line, I need to know what you really think about these guys and how much input is he going to have, Mike? That's my question. Because he's coming into a defense that was damn near dead last in every category last season. So that was something that wasn't answered, and I just don't know whether or not, you know, they wanted to stay away from that or not. But either way, Terry addressed the media, and we're going to see tomorrow. We will find out soon enough, Atlanta, how they are thinking about going about this draft. Here's my thought, and it won't change. Defense, defense, defense. Need, need, right. Need. Forget about this best player on the board stuff. To me, it is need. It's glare. It's looking you right in the face, Mike, and you can't deny it.
Unless there's a small chance they say Michael Penix Jr. needs to be protected.
Come on, stop.
The blind side is weak. And what is the point of having all these weapons at, on offense if you're going to have to keep
you're
a tight
gonna
end?
You're going to go offense 5 years in a row?
Hey, man, you know, well, for the last 4 years, the blind side was on the left side. Jake's got that handled.
No way.
Now with a lefty, it's on McGarry's watch.
You want to talk about lighting your hair on fire tomorrow? If that happens, if they go offense again, I'm going to lose my mind. The offense is fine, Terry.
I'm just saying, if Will Campbell fell, not that he would, or Membo fell, or Josh Simmons.
You're going to go get one of these guys.
Well, we should have had Penei Sewell in the first place. Then we wouldn't be having this problem. But that's a moot point. If they've felt this that McGarry's okay, we've heard some rumblings that maybe McGarry's not the guy for the job. We'll find out. But I do think that's, of all things, Carl, pie chart.
All right.
Yeah, it's like this slit, very
okay,
slit.
All right.
It's got to be edge. But then linebacker, too, because then you get into the linebackers, and we have talked a lot about guys that fit. Do they not fit? You know, does Jalen Walker fit what we're looking for? Jahad Campbell? And again, he's gotten the clear. Apparently, arm's going to be okay for a camp. Would you be surprised that Jahad Campbell is the guy taking at 15?
I wouldn't. Look, he's a sideline-to-sideline guy. I think he's the best linebacker in this draft. But I also think, again, this is the thing. Let's just say all three of those guys are there. What's the decision-making process, Mike?
All right, gets back to your first question.
How do you determine which guy is more impactful. And that, whoever they have higher on the board, and they've already done all the grading guys, they're going to determine. And then when they make that pick, that's what they're telling you. If it's this guy over the other two and they're all sitting there, they're telling us they graded this guy higher, he's going to have a bigger impact. And God, I hope he does. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's hear Terry real quick, Mike, talk about the pressure to get this right. You've been saying he's got a lot of pressure on him. We've been talking about it. Does he realize how much pressure he has on him going into this draft?
The pressure's always there, absolutely, and that's a part of it. You know, if you're not comfortable with the pressure, then you shouldn't be working in the NFL, definitely shouldn't be in a leadership position, but you got to get the picks right. And at the end of the day, right now we got five draft picks, and you can look at historical numbers, and every year there's going to be first-round picks that don't play well, and there's going to be undrafted free agents that end up being really good players. You know, so you have to get the picks right, regardless of if we make five picks and get 10 players in undrafted free agency, whatever it is, it's about getting the picks right.
He's right. He's right.
Look, and we've talked about, you know, how much of this do you give him a pass on because of circumstances beyond his control, that, you know, Arthur Smith gets hired a few days before him, and he acquiesces to him on some of these big picks. You know, the first pick he ever made, the highest pick he's ever had, is a disaster in Kyle Pitts until he proves otherwise. And hope he does. Hope we don't never complain about Kyle Pitts again. Hope that starts this year. But they got to nail it. Because if you said it, if they don't make the playoffs, he's gone. And maybe Rod with him. And he knows it.
Tomorrow's a big day. Friday's a big day. We'll be at Flowery Branch, hopefully talking to our newest Falcon on Friday. The draft is Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and we're going to see how everything shakes out. But when we get back, the Braves find a way to get it done late this afternoon, and they win another series. Mm. We'll talk to Grant McCauley next.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Let's talk about our Bravos, man. They get it done again this afternoon. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All right, Grant. First of all, win another series, man. This is what we talked about. Let's stack some series. I'll be honest, though. Today, I didn't feel like we were going to find a way. And what's the phrase, Grant? It's never over until it's over, right?
No, it ain't over till it's over. But the Braves, I feel like on this homestand, there were a lot of different areas that you could look at and say that feels a little bit more like it. They're certainly playing good baseball at home, 5-1 on this homestand, 8-3 overall. And now they're going to have to go out and get tested on the road again, which we know started out about as poorly as a season can start out, but doesn't have to stay that way. But they're going to have another big challenge out there as they face another tough National League West team in the Diamondbacks, which we can talk about, I'm sure, in a few minutes. But yeah, I think that you had to like what you saw from this game in a couple of different ways. Number one, they figured out the rally and got the big hit they needed to win it. It came from the unlikely source of Eli White with a 3-run homer to break a tie in the eighth inning, when a lot of people, I think, were looking at it thinking, all right, well, aren't you going to pinch hit for Eli White with this pitching change? And as it turned out, they liked that matchup. They stuck with him, and they won a baseball game as a result of it. And how about Bryce Elder giving them what they needed, putting them in position, keeping the game close? That kind of performance you can deal with. They've just been so few and far between from him, but it was a big reason why the Braves were able to pick up this win.
And hats off to Bryce, by the way. Pitch count, was it 99? He was economical for the most part, Grant, in six innings. And I always give him too much criticism because I always felt like, you know, is any of these guys going to stick? And that was an effort that, you know, keeps him certainly in the mind of Snicker. Speaking of the mind of Snicker, getting back to Eli, because we were watching, we were on the air when it was going down. Is that a combination of the analytics and his gut and how they make that call? Let him hit?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's, you know, one thing or another that's like the deciding factor in that, but sometimes I feel like you've got to give guys some opportunities, and Brian Snitker's certainly been in baseball for long enough, 49 years, as a matter of fact, if we're getting technical with it, to see opportunity sometimes where maybe some of us might have gone another direction, not even from the analytics standpoint, but just from the traditional matchup. Did you want to go Verdugo to bring a lefty in, take that at bat, instead of leaving the right-hand hitting Eli White in there? But in giving him that chance and giving him that start today, I think Eli White showed that, you know, sometimes it comes from some of the most unlikely or unheralded of sources, and you'll take it whichever way you can get it, certainly. And the Braves are happy to have that win, and it's good to see different guys contribute to it, and they're going to need that. Now, certainly in the wake of not having the outfield that they're going to want to, at least for a couple of more weeks in terms of Ronald Acuña Jr.'s return and being without Jerickson Profar, this has kind of created a more interesting opportunity for Eli White than I think a lot of people would have anticipated.
Money Harris, 3 hits today. Riley continues to stay hot. Anything change for him? Was it just it's rhythm? Like, he's found his rhythm. What's going on with Riley? Because he's been crushing it.
Yeah, no, he definitely has been. That's been going on for a couple of weeks. I think I was more, I don't know if relieved is the word, or just impressed to see what Michael Harris did on the homestand, because they needed to get him going as well. And you talk about stacking series and stacking wins. The Braves needed to stack some hitters and feel like you're seeing things and getting things that you need to from them. And we've seen that from Austin Riley, from Michael Harris, from Matt Olson. Obviously, Marcell Ozuna has been Marcell Ozuna. And sometimes you're just going to get it from the Eli Whites and Alex Verdugos of the world and other guys who come in and contribute to this. But all around. I think at least you're starting to feel that and see that momentum and some of the things that are that were absent over the first at least week or 10 days starting to maybe click a little bit for this club and make you feel like if they can, you know, close out this month with these next two series, again, Arizona's going to be a challenge, but then you have the Rockies on the other side. Could this club climb up and be right on the doorstep of 500? Considering how they started, I think if you leave April somewhere in that realm, you're going to feel pretty good about the five or so months to follow.
That's a good point. It's our man Grant McCauley, guys, here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. The Braves went on getaway day. Actually, it's kind of a convenient getaway day. They got a full day to have fun in Scottsdale, Carl, or wherever they do in Arizona. It's a wonderful place to visit.
No, no doubt.
Grant, talking to Carl off the air in Day-Day today about Ozzie Albies, one of my favorite Braves, and the average is okay, but, man, it just seems like when he comes up with runners in scoring position, it's just been a lot of nothing. And, I mean, to me, the plan, what is the plan at the plate? A lot of first-pitch swinging. He's batting 174 versus left-handers. What's your take on Ozzie?
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the guys that you look at and you know that you've got to get more from that. And obviously, he's given you more in the past, but he's also been, I think at times, a very streaky hitter. And I know there's been a lot of discussion about, oh, well, he hits so well right-handed. Why don't he just give up switch hitting? I don't think that's the answer. I don't think it's ever really been the answer, but he's certainly in a lull on the left side, at least for the time being, but that can change. And I think you touched on what it is that's going to create that change. And that is having, I think, a better plan of attack. I mean, he is an aggressive hitter. I don't think that has to change altogether, but there have been so many at bats where you just felt like, you know, if it could just work the count a little bit more and keep the pressure on the pitcher, it would feel like he might find that better result. And maybe that's something that's in the offing for Ozzie. But, yeah, there's been, I think, a lot of opportunities for him to, you know, help the Braves out in certain situations, to keep big innings going, perhaps to be the linchpin in a big inning. And he just hasn't been able to come through as of yet. But, you know, the numbers would tell you over the course of his career that he's capable of it. But just for whatever reason, it's not happening right now.
All right, Grant, as we take a look at the pitching staff, look, AA is continuing to try to improve or at least supplement what we have. But we really, and I'm saying this because this will happen down the road, I'm guessing, but we really can't do anything significant until the trade deadline, right? So it's kind of just kind of survive until we get to that point, and then you just kind of, you know, again, you're bringing in streak free agents, you're bringing Jesse back, you're doing all these different things. And I'm not just pointing the finger at one guy. I'm saying as a whole, somebody asked me, well, what can we do to improve the pitching staff? You really can't. Like right now, you're not going to go out and acquire three different guys that can really come in here and help you.
No, I mean, you saw they tried to get a little bit creative by picking up Rafael Montero from the Astros.
I saw that.
Yeah. I mean, he's gotten into and out of some trouble at times, but you know, maybe he's somebody that can at least help out. It's not a high leverage arm that you're looking to, you know, replace Joe Jimenez, for example, which is one of the reasons why they're in the situation that they're in, is the fact that he may not pitch this year. And he didn't really check those boxes in the winter. I think if anything, it continues to shine a light on, you know, why were some moves not made? And it didn't have to be the top shelf move. If they didn't get Tanner Scott because he went to the Dodgers, okay, that happens. But where was the plan B or the plan C of a more proven major league variety? And that, I think, is a valid question when you're looking at some of the minor league signings and journeymen and, you know, guys who've never really gotten a chance in other organizations coming in here and being asked to throw important innings. And I'm not picking on Eniel De Los Santos, who had been pretty good before coming unraveled against the Cardinals last night, but that is not exactly the name, the pedigree, and the, you know, the type of reliever that you are expecting to be throwing those kinds of big innings on a club that has the aspirations that the Braves do. You were used to having A.J. Minter and Joe Jimenez and other guys that were high-leverage relievers for this club, and that just didn't get addressed over the course of the offseason. I don't know how Craig Kimbrell can factor into this. I mean, it's certainly worth a try. He's now in AAA Gwinnett, so he's kind of knocking on the door at this point, but you know, he's been kind of up and down the last couple of years as well. So just not being able to go out and get that proven arm or two, whether that was a veteran starter to help the rotation, which obviously has been pressed by injuries yet again, or if it was just going out and getting somebody to help you out in the bullpen in high leverage, it just, I think it's a cumulative effect, if that makes sense.
again, we'll be watching the waiver wire like he always does. It, like, I just, yep. you know, Grant, you're just saying what I say all the time. I know I drive you crazy. I wear you out with that stuff. It just feel like we just don't invest enough in the pitching. Honestly, Blewett and Bummer, arguably one of the funniest combinations of pitchers back-to-back in any rotation, in any game. Blewett and Bummer were pretty good, all things considered. You're right. It was just the tail end that kind of let you down. What do we know about the Diamondbacks, and can we see these guys getting to 500 on this road trip?
Yeah, I mean, the 500 on the road trip is certainly possible. I mean, the Braves are, what, 10-14 now? So they would have to pretty much go 5-1, which they just did at home. Can it happen on the road? Do you expect it to happen on the road facing a Diamondbacks team that's once again one of the better offenses in the National League, if not all of baseball? Pretty dangerous there. They have some pitching questions as well, but you look at the National League West, and I think that that's a division that right now may be the better of the divisions in the National League, at least for the time being. But you got the Colorado Rockies on the other side of that. The Diamondbacks, 14-9 on the year, so playing better than .600 baseball. Meanwhile, the Rockies, 4-18. They've already fired their hitting coach. And I talked about this on From the Diamond.
That's right.
Over the weekend. If you're a hitting coach and your guys get to spend half of their games in Colorado and you're getting fired, something has gone terribly wrong there. So they've got to sort all that out. They have not been very good this year. That's a team that, you know, if you're getting greedy, you know, if you can find a way to win a series in Arizona, which again is going to be tough, and take care of business against the Rockies, maybe you come out of April feeling a little bit better about the overall trajectory of this club, especially when you start to talk about getting Ronald Acuna Jr. back in a couple of 3 weeks, because that should be a major boost to just the continuity of this lineup. And I think overall the energy for the team with some of the recent events set aside. They may have to sort all that stuff out, and I don't want to open Pandora's box with it, but the Braves are a better club with Ronald Acuna Jr., I guess is what I'm saying, and I don't think that that's much of a stretch of a statement in general.
No, and I know where you're going there. Hey, Drake Baldwin, I love the kid. He's coming along, isn't he? Just real quick, a couple of comments on Drake.
Yeah, definitely like what you see there, and I think that the game on Friday against Minnesota when he came off the bench, and I just hearing his post-game comments on the Apple broadcast, it just seemed like, wait, is this kid 30, 40 plate appearances into his big league career? Has he been around for 5, 6, 7, 8 years? Because he just has a plan of attack. He's got an all-fields approach. He will take pitches. He will work counts. And that's the kind of thing that you love to see, because sometimes the Braves are, you know, aggressive by nature. They're looking for something early in the count to do damage. And I'm not saying Drake won't do that or can't do that, but it just seems like he's got a little bit of a different layer or level to him, which is fun to see from a young player, because it's kind of the exception and not the rule. So I like the idea of keeping him up and keeping him around, because even though he has lost playing time with the return of Sean Murphy, that duo in general has done pretty well for itself this year. And if you can find offense from anywhere, I think it's worth exploring that. And I think the Drake Baldwin, to make a long story longer, or maybe to bring it to a head, has been one of the better hitters on the team. So it's kind of hard to send that guy back to the minors.
Great stuff, Grant. Appreciate you, brother. Off tomorrow. It's draft day. And then we'll talk to you on Friday about this series. Thanks so much.
Look forward to it. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys. Coming up, it's Dukes and Bell. We are all over the draft. More on Terry Fontenot. He talked about Kirk Cousins, by the way, being in the building today. And he said, yeah, I talked to him. I don't know what was said, but he said he talked to him, Mike. So we'll let you hear that. But as we count
hello,
down to the
Cousins.
As we count down to the draft, you think that's what he said in the hallway? We count down to the draft tomorrow. A couple of things that you need to know as we head into the first round tomorrow. It's going to be a big day here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, we're there. Mike Conti, Wes, Dave there for the draft coverage, the post-draft coverage. It's all going down. We're coming back.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps. Restrictions apply.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout-out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Which way are we going to go? It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, as we talk about what Terry Fontenot had to say today, and we'll let you hear a couple of other things, including Kirk Cousins attending workouts, and he said, I'm not surprised. I mean, I was, but he said he wasn't. But, Mike, look, there are numerous ways to skin a cat. And when you talk about how to make your team better and, more importantly, your defense better, it's not just one position. I just got a great tweet. And put them up. See Dukes. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL from one of our loyal listeners. And, look, we love interacting with you guys. But he said, Dukes, we don't necessarily need edge. We need a defensive impactful player. Why not, as he alluded to, go with one of these big defensive tackles? Now, this is something, if you're just joining the show, that I've been talking about, and I would not be surprised if they did that. He was talking about Kenneth Grant, Mike, DT from Michigan. I said, I don't think Kenneth Grant's going to be there.
Right.
I think some of these guys that are at the top of this draft on the defensive line are going to be gone. But you and I have been talking about a guy that I don't think, no disrespect, that most college football fans, especially in the South, did not watch a lot of. But this guy's a beast.
Now, I was in vacation. I was over in Italy, so I was watching on the phone, and so I wasn't watching like the whole game. So I came back, and I watched it on DVR. Guy that really popped. And, well, granted, everybody popped against Florida State because they were terrible. But this guy also popped against Pitt and everybody else he played. And we're talking about a guy who is the Hendricks, Ted Hendricks Award winner for the best edge rusher.
Yeah.
So this is the guys who vote for this consider all those awards at Disney World. He's the best edge rusher of this college class, and that is Donovan Ezeraku. And Ezeraku is a
Boston
dude,
College.
6'3", not the biggest guy, but this guy gets the quarterback. And if you look at his individual game logs and numbers, he gets the quarterback on the ground, Carl, but he also sets the edge. So, in other words, running backs aren't running for miles. Remember Matthew Judon, how bad he was at setting the edge last year?
For sure.
I mean, granted, anybody who's played the position for us over the years. But talk about some of the games you saw him playing.
Well, I got sent a couple of clips of a bunch of these early potential first-round D-tackles. And one of the things that I was telling Mike is, you talk about setting the edge. I saw him take on a, not just one time, but a couple of different times, take on a double team. Mike, there's things that you see in a game, and he takes on a double team. He throws a tackle out of the way. He's moving down the line of scrimmage, and he makes a play on like an outside zone play. Now, for many of you, you know, it'd be like, okay, well, what's the big deal? It's the fact that they were trying to contain him. He was not supposed to make the play. You're double teaming a guy like this, Mike. You're saying that guy's not going to make the play. He's got somebody else has got to come make the play. And he makes the play, and he made it look easy. And the thing about it is, when we talk about, again, I say run stop, but run defense, if you're going to be stout on the offensive or the defensive line, Mike, this is the kind of guy that could help with that on our Falcon football team. So not only do we get bigger, right, and I'm talking about just bigger, stout, more size up front, but also you got a guy that laterally, Mike, moves, I'm not going to tell you like a linebacker, but this dude is he's nimble, man. I love the kid.
Now, again, this gets back to guys in their car right now. They're going, Donovan, who?
Yeah, right.
Boston, what?
Right.
Because, and look, I'm guilty as charged. I've been screaming and railing about why don't they take Georgia players or SEC players over the years. They certainly take Alabama players when it comes to Julio, and I get all that. But as far as, you know, Mykal Williams, you know, are you concerned about the ankle? We had on Charles Davis today. He said the ankle's okay. We talked to Connor Riley from Dog Nation. Connor was saying that, you know, didn't look the same. Didn't really pass the eye test last time he saw him. So, Shamar Stewart, you know, that's a guy that has too many red flags for you and I. James Pierce, I don't know what factor fiction is, but a guy that you just look at the numbers. The problem is when we talk about a guy like Donovan Ezeraku versus a Mykal Williams, who when he was healthy was throwing around Texas linemen like ragdolls, Carl, when he finally got that ankle right, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he was good against Texas. The argument's going to be for our Falcon fans right now in the car are going to say, who the hell was Ezeraku playing against because they don't respect the ACC.
No, that's the problem. But if you ask anybody who's been evaluating this draft, this dude's a top overall top 20 player. You would be getting a top 20 player in this draft. That's how good he is.
Some consider him the third or second best edge rusher.
And that's saying a lot. While we're talking about this, I mean, and again, you know, it's all in what the eye of the beholder is. But, Mike, I think, like, that's a guy that's on many teams' boards right now that most people are not going to pay attention to. And he's going to be one of these guys 3 years from now. You're going to go, man, I remember hearing about this guy. Because I think his skill set propels directly to the NFL. He's another guy that, Mike, I think you could jump in and start for you. And, see, that's what we're talking about. I don't need to wait. I don't want a guy to be on the field every other play or he's a two-down guy. I need a guy that's going to come in and immediately have an impact. He's built to do that.
The only game, and I was looking going back and looking at some of the tape, the one game he didn't have any sacks and had five tackles, that was the SMU game. Probably the best team he played. Pretty good team. So if you're just looking for, you know.
Yeah, we played in the ACC championship.
We're getting comparative scores. Yeah. We're looking for teams that, you know, SMU really came in and just blew doors in the ACC. Look, I still like Mykal Williams, but I still, my spidey sense, I don't know. I'm just – you never get what you want as a Falcon fan. I'm going to go with Mike Green. I like Mike Green for the same thing, the physicality. If you get hung up on the small school thing, he did play at UVA. We do know he had some off-the-field stuff, which for whatever reason he left. As a couple guys asked us earlier, do you think the Falcon filter's back? No. And that's going to prevent them from drafting Mike Green if he's available.
No. Let me help you. No. No.
Not just no. Hell no.
No, it's not. And the reason is simple. They have people in the building that they feel like if they're drafting a guy and there are any issues or concerns, they're going to be able to deal with them. You're not going to draft a guy that is so out of control, and Mike, you're going to catch so much heat that it becomes the story of the draft. There's nobody in this draft like that, and they're not even going to put themselves in that kind of position. So when you say red flags, I kind of laugh because I'm like, what are we really talking about here?
And they're not mine, perceived red flags.
Yes.
I don't care.
No, I don't either. But I will tell you, no, that's not going to be a concern. I think if you tell me that they draft one of these guys, Pierce. And people have talked about James Pierce from Tennessee and say, oh, well, there's some things that we're concerned about. What are you concerned about? Because I still think the kid can play, and I think he's going to go high in this draft. He may not be the first or second edge rusher taken, but I think he's going to be taken fairly high. And again, you know, does he have a first-round grade on him? A lot of people do. But it's all going to depend on how the draft shakes out.
Right.
Some of the best players in this draft are going to fall to the second round tomorrow. They
but,
just
right,
are.
But that's the thing. We had this whole discussion the last few days with everybody who covers Georgia about how do you quantify a Georgia player because sometimes the sack numbers aren't necessarily there. Trayvon Walker gets to the Jaguars by the second year. He's a beast. He's one of the best edge rushers in the league. But if you want guys that are proven, at least whatever you feel about the level of competition, Green had 17 sacks. Okay? Ezeraku had 16 and a half sacks. Pierce had 7.5 sacks, including none versus Georgia. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this gets into the level. Some guys have their... Oh, it's competition. Oh, it's the want to. I don't. You and I both agree. We don't want Shamar Stewart, right? We don't want that guy.
Well, look, after what I heard about Shamar, and again, I was always skeptical, but for my A&M folks, man, it's just If you're telling me he is an athletic freak, that's cool. Is he a difference maker or an impact player? I don't know. And, you know, it's a guy we brought up with Charles Davis earlier. 1.5 sacks in his sophomore, junior, and senior year at Texas A&M. That just doesn't add up. And again, you can talk about the scheme and all of that, but Texas A&M has not had an elite defense. Mike Elko just got there.
Right.
So it's one of those things where you go, all right, traditionally, what have they done? I just have my doubts about Shamar.
But there's still a part of me that I look at Mikael Williams and I say, man, that dude, you know, of all the times they've always passed on Georgia, and you see what the Eagles have done, that's not prisoner of the moment. The Eagles are doing it the right way. They're getting results year after year. And it's Mikael Williams. But the problem is the Eagles have a great defense that Georgia players plug into. If Mikael Williams comes in here, is he going to have that same result considering
the lack of
depth around him, especially in the interior of the defensive line?
Yeah, you don't have the players around him. Mike, I told you, Nick Skorton is the best pass rusher out of A&M if you're going to go from that group of guys. Hey, man, tomorrow we're live at Mercedes-Benz. I'm inviting you to make sure you listen all day. Listen, news could break. And Mike said it. We come in here tomorrow, and all of a sudden we have a couple of trades in the draft. The outlook changes. I do think teams will be looking to make deals tomorrow, but I just feel like there's so much being asked for picks 1, 2, and 3. Titans have already said we're sticking at 1, so I don't think that pick's for sale anymore. What about the Browns and the Giants, Mike?
If somebody for this one.
If somebody wants to move.
I got a pretty darn good source.
So that's going to set the tone for this draft, man. It really is tomorrow. But we're going to be down there at Mercedes-Benz bringing you all the latest. It's going to be a lot of fun. And we hope you tune in not just for us, but all day, all evening long with the post-draft stuff. And then Friday, man, who are we talking to? We'll see tomorrow.
Right. And the question is going to be, for once in your freaking Falcon life, for once in your freaking Falcon life, do we get the guy that, first off, we're excited about it, and then more importantly, he matches it with the results on the field?
Hopefully.
And we get a guy that you want to buy his jersey. He's going to be here for 10 years or more. Maybe he gets a gold jacket. A dude is going to be a legacy player. You know, because it just seems like, man, other teams get that guy, and we just never get that guy in the defensive side of the ball.
No doubt. All right, we got to get out of here, man. Chris has got the night show for you. Stay right there. Let's clear our throats. Make sure you check out all of the interviews at Odyssey.com. Go back and rewind. Hear what Charles Davis had to say today as he helped us break down a lot of the players we've been talking about. Tomorrow, we got a plethora of guests to stop by as well. Leading up to the draft, you don't want to miss it, starting at 2 o'clock. Hey, Big O Behind the Glass, thank you as always. Our engineer and Data Executive Producing. Hey, stay there. Chris is coming up. Mike Bell, clear your throat.
Hey, man, when they said that General Manager and President LeBron decided to hire J.J. Redick as the head coach of the Lakers, I was dubious. I said, you know, sometimes these guys have never done it. It doesn't work out. You know, we've had some really good plays, including some MVPs that just, you know, don't make it happen. Well, in this case, J.J. Redick finally said, okay, I'm going to be cool. It's kind of like that Showtime documentary about the Lakers where Pat Riley's character finally just loses it. Well, J.J. Redick finally lost it, and he went bananas, and he was cussing like worse than Krzyzewski ever did, and he got the results. Good job, J.J. Redick. You got to know when to push the button, and it worked for the Lakers.
Hey, who are these anonymous coaches that are saying he's not any good? Put your name on it. There's nothing worse than hearing, oh, an anonymous coach feels like he isn't any good. Of course I'm talking about Shedeur Sanders. Listen, we'll know in due time. But put your name on it. If you don't think somebody's any good, put your name on it. Don't hide behind some anonymous report where, he's not any good.
Yeah.
Come on, man. Be a man.
Yeah.
Hey, if you love the show,
you tell your friends.
You don't?
Your favorite Greek wine is called Anonymous.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined, a new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colone for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.